I am going to say a really bold statement.
Oh, shit.
This is my favorite horror movie.
What? Like, ever?
Yeah.
Holy shit. Hello, and welcome back to the Ride Home Podcast. My name is Abby.
Hey, guys. It's Caitlin.
I know it has been a hot second since we have recorded. Our last episode was It Ends With Us, which was a doozy. Woo, of an episode.
What a doozy.
Our dog had surgery, which we posted about. A very successful surgery.
Yeah.
She does not have cancer or anything like that, but she had a giant fatty, like, lipoma, I guess is what they call them, mm-hmm. On her side, and we got it removed. 10 pounds.
So insane.
And also our pet insurance covered it, which is the best part about the whole thing.
Yeah, so worth it. Get
so
pet insurance.
Please get pet insurance. But she's doing well. We're good. We were back in the theater because we could finally leave her alone for an extended period of time.
Yeah.
And I know there have been some other movies that people have been checking out more mainstream recently, like Blink Twice, which is the new Channing Tatum and Zoe Kravitz movie,
mm-hmm.
and Sing Sing, which I know has been getting a lot of praise and buzz.
Mm-hmm.
But there was something that kept popping up on my TikTok feed in particular. And there are like three movie reviewers on TikTok that I respect and I usually agree with their opinion.
Okay.
And all three of them saw this movie.
Mm-hmm.
I trust their opinion, and they were all basically like, you have to see this movie and mm-hmm. you have to go into it blind. And the movie that they were suggesting is a horror slash thriller called Strange Darling, which is the first feature from a new director on the scene, JT mm-hmm. Molnar,
mm-hmm.
who I know nothing about.
Nope.
His IMDb is very short and only include shorts, so I think this is so I think this is like his first feature, and he wrote and directed it, and I think I agree. Before I get into any type of review, before I ask you what you think about it, I'm just going to agree with what the TikTok movie reviewers say and just don't even watch a trailer.
No,
like, if you haven't seen this movie yet,
mm-hmm.
just go.
Yeah.
Like, I don't want you to read a synopsis. I don't want mm-hmm. you to, like, anything. And I'm not even going to have you read a synopsis. I'm just going
Whoa.
To say this is a horror thriller. And the only details I will give is what they say in, like, the prologue with the text where, like, the narrator was reading mm-hmm. it, which basically is, like, this is the final night of a serial killer's murdering spree.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, this is the last set of murders of this one serial killer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's it.
Okay.
I am not saying anything else. And we are definitely, for this episode, going to be doing a spoiler, no spoiler section.
Mm-hmm.
So when there's some music, and I warn you that there are spoilers coming if you haven't seen this movie yet and you plan to, please pause this episode and do not continue, because, again, this is something that you should just go in completely blind.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think you went in more blind than I did to this movie.
Yes. All I knew is that you told me there was this movie that we needed to go see and that everybody was raving about it. And I think you said maybe that it had like a 96% on Rotten Tomatoes. And I was like, well, what is it about? And you were like, no, we're supposed to go in blind.
Yeah.
And so I didn't even look it up. Well, I did. I looked it up right before
just to
see how long
yep.
it was going to be. And so I did read the synopsis.
Uh-huh.
But even that, I mean, I just kind of glimpsed at it
right.
and went on with
right.
my day. So I had no clue at all what I was getting into.
So I know I said I didn't want you to read a synopsis, but I do mm-hmm. want you to give just a quick cast list.
Okay. So I'm just going to do what I consider to be like the main four.
Yeah.
So we've got Willa Fitzgerald, Kyle Gallner, Ed Begley Jr., and Barbara Hershey
mm-hmm.
as our main cast and crew.
And I will say, Ed Begley,
mm-hmm.
I like immediately clocked that he was a very like deep cut character on Seventh Heaven. Yes. I'm pretty sure he was the guy that marries their alcoholic aunt at one point. Remember, she marries a doctor?
Yeah.
And I immediately was like, oh my God, it's him.
You
like,
recognize him from Seventh Heaven? That's so funny. I recognize him from Arrested Development.
Yeah.
But you didn't really watch that show.
No.
But I recognize him from that.
He's definitely like a recognizable character mm-hmm. actor. Like he's, especially from like the 90s and early 2000s, sure. you know, big career there.
Mm-hmm.
Kyle, I forget his last name.
But, Kyle Gallner.
Yeah, he plays the lead. He is basically like a new little horror boy.
I've seen that.
Yeah. Because he was in Scream.
He was in Smile.
And he was in Smile. Mm-hmm. And so now he's in Strange Darling
so
as well.
Now he just does horror.
And you know what? Like, good for him.
It fits.
Yeah. Like,
he fits.
Yeah, it works out. Like, I know that we've had a couple of conversations about actors who should be in horror
mm-hmm.
and who aren't, or who would, like, do well in horror.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just, like, one of those people that if he never leaves horror, that's fine. Like, he's doing great in what he's doing.
He has a face and a voice for horror.
Absolutely.
It's just something about him.
Just are you just ready to like jump into
I'm so it? Ready
I really want to talk about this movie.
We gotta get into it.
So without going into any spoilers,
mm-hmm.
what are your very first just initial impressions of Strange Darling?
So even though I didn't know anything about it going into it, there was something you said to me
mm-hmm.
before we went in about the movie that immediately bothered me.
Uh-huh.
And it was that it's not linear.
Oh, yeah, I know.
And I was like, what? And I was like really annoyed.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I've already had in my head that was going to be an issue for me and mm-hmm. that I was going to struggle with that. But I was like, you know what? Just we're going into a blind. Like, don't. And I tried to like let go of that.
Yeah.
So I went into it a little nervous about that.
I know you did have like a visceral reaction when I said that.
It just felt like, why do we have to do that to us? Like neurodivergents prefer things. Like I need things to be linear.
And it also sometimes I feel like things that are told in a non-linear fashion almost feel like try hard. Like it's mm-hmm. almost like it didn't have to be that way.
Yeah.
And you're just doing it for the sake of making something different.
Yeah. So I had both of those thoughts where I was like, it feels already like we're doing too much.
Yeah. I get that.
But here's the thing. They proved me wrong.
Yeah.
I am going to say a really bold statement.
Oh, shit.
This is my favorite horror movie.
What? Like ever?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
This is my favorite horror movie.
Oh my God. I was not expecting that at all.
I loved this movie.
Yeah.
I loved everything about this movie.
Yeah.
I loved the cinematography.
Beautiful.
And that it was shot on film.
Which was interesting, like, that they put it at the beginning. Like, all of this was shot on 35mm. Because, like, there's going to be some, like, Cinebros that, like, can recognize, like...
Cinebros, like Cinnabon.
Yes. Cinebros. Like, there are Cinebros that can spot film.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, as an editor, I can make something look like film.
Sure.
So, like, you don't actually know if it is film unless you're told.
Right.
And so the fact that they told us straight up that it was shot on film kind of gave you a different, like, appreciation for everything that was happening.
Yes. And I like that they said that at the beginning. Because as soon as that came up, I was like, okay.
Yeah.
And then again, I had a little bit of that, like, kind of something in the back of my head, like just a little bit of doubt about, is this going to be too artsy? Is this going to be too try hard? Is this going to be too much? But I was like, okay, well let me see. They got my attention.
Yeah.
Let me see what they got. And I actually loved the way that they told the story.
Yeah.
I loved that it wasn't linear. I loved the order that they put it in.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought the acting was really good.
Really good.
I thought Willa Fitzgerald, who hasn't really been in anything.
Yeah.
Besides, she's done a lot of TV stuff, it looks like.
Uh-huh.
I thought she was great.
She was fantastic.
I thought she was so good.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just a well told story. And it was beautiful. I love the music,
mm-hmm.
the score, and the soundtrack. It was just...
Yeah.
I don't think I have a bad thing to say about it.
I think that like one of the things that I loved about it was that because it was shot on film, because it was kind of lit the same way as a lot of like old school horror, yeah. And also because they did have kind of a more retro soundtrack, mm-hmm. And there were like little pieces and parts throughout the entire movie that just felt like nods to all of those older films, mm-hmm. And in a way that wasn't try hard, and in a way, yes. That was like, let me take what you did back in the 70s and 80s and now with the budget and ability of somebody in 2024, yes. Make a horror movie that has an incredible amount of depth,
mm-hmm.
Some crazy twists and turns,
mm-hmm.
And layers that are just like, it's like peeling back an onion, like constantly. Mm-hmm. Like I've been, you know, I wouldn't say that this is my favorite horror movie of, sure. All time. That's, I don't think anything will ever replace Halloween. I'm sorry. But I completely agree with you that this movie is next to perfect.
This movie, I'm telling you, this is something that everyone else has been trying to do.
Yes.
For a really long time, that nobody's really quite figured out the perfect formula.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what you said exactly about those nods to vintage horror.
Yeah.
I mean, right off the rip, I was like, this feels like a Hitchcock movie.
Yeah.
You know, and it was like, whoa, like, is this set in the past or what? Like, and you, yeah. Know, and like you weren't quite sure, like, and once you orient to yourself and see that it's in the present, it's even more interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And it just, this felt effortless.
Yeah.
You know, this felt like a completely effortless project that just fell into all the right places. The casting, the direction,
mm-hmm.
Like you said, the lighting, even just the framing of the, yeah. Shots. I mean, it was just the pacing, the depth, the character, yes. Development. I'm just like blown away. And I was so worried that I was gonna hate it.
Yeah.
And I came out like, yeah. I can't believe I like that yeah. Much.
I think for me too, what you were talking about with like the non-linear storytelling is that does frustrate me too. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I do get annoyed when people make choices that don't make sense.
Yeah.
There wasn't a choice in this movie that didn't make sense.
No.
Everything had a purpose. Everything, mm-hmm. Was very intentional. And I think the most masterful thing about this movie was the ability to tell a non-linear story in a way that felt linear in your head.
Yes.
Like, I don't know how to explain it beyond saying just like everything made sense, and it just made sense why, you know, you got this part before this part and that part leading into the next part. Not only did it make sense in terms of plot and story and development, mm-hmm. But it also made sense in terms of character development. Developing characters in a non-linear way for the audience watching it, I mean, it almost like you can think of it as when you're watching a TV show and they do flashbacks,
mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, that's why that character, you know,
yeah.
Makes sense that way. That's why they believe that. That's why they feel that way.
Mm-hmm.
The way that Molnar created the plot, the characters, everything, like you can tell that this was his baby,
mm-hmm.
And that everyone that worked with him was trusting.
Yes.
That he knew where he was going with it, because, mm-hmm. It really just felt like the most, we went from like It Ends With Us, which was the least cohesive film ever.
Yes.
To like one of the most cohesive, especially horror movies, which is very difficult to do.
Yes.
It felt like the integrity of what he wanted.
Yes.
Just was kept throughout.
That initial, you know, kind of opening sequence,
mm-hmm.
Was just enough that I feel like it was just like, oh, now everyone in this room,
yeah.
Is bought into this movie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I feel like that's what he really did with this movie, is like, okay, we're gonna start it like this and then you're gonna have to stay for the rest, and
yeah.
You're automatically bought in.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter what happens or how I do it, you're gonna like it.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked.
It works.
And it works so well.
Everything felt intentional, and nothing, mm-hmm. Felt bloated about this film. Nothing felt try hard, and it was artsy in a way that was beautiful and not annoying.
Yeah. Beautiful, palatable.
Yes.
Everything about this movie was so deliberate.
Yeah.
You can tell how much thought was put into this.
Yeah.
And it was so genuine and not, let me think of all the things I could do that are right. crazy and artsy. It was like, let me think of how to make a really good film.
Also, I'm going to throw out a movie that it kind of reminded me of, just like, just the way I felt after seeing it, just the way it reminded me, just even visually, like the content is not at all the same.
Mm-hmm.
Did you get a little bit of like Bones and All feeling
yes.
with this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, you and I, we love yeah. Bones and All. And that has a completely different storyline.
Sure.
Nothing to do with a serial killer. It's about sure. cannibalism and all yeah. that. But like that same way that it was artistic without being annoying, the same way that it was intentional, and the same way that it was visually gorgeous
mm-hmm.
while dealing with violent,
uh-huh.
you know, situations. Like those two movies just really felt similar to me in a weird
yes.
way. I don't know why. I just kept thinking about Bones and All, like while it was happening. I was like,
no,
wow, this really reminds me of
you're
that.
You're onto something. I think they were both had a little bit of like ethereal to them,
yeah.
you know, with the music and the way that it was lit and shot. And, you know, Bones and All is a really good fucking movie. So yeah. it makes sense. I mean, I think both movies are very raw.
Mm-hmm.
And really stripped down. Like, it's just
yeah.
very bare bone stuff. And I think I like to see that. It's not overproduced. It's mm-hmm. not over, like you said, it's not over manipulated. And it's great.
Yeah. And I also feel like they are both two successful films that go into social commentary, that go mm-hmm. into symbolism,
mm-hmm.
that, you know, it doesn't feel like you're taking, like, an English literature class when they're like, what does the red bird mean
yeah.
in this novel? You know, like mm-hmm. it feels like you can digest it as an audience and you can unpack things and you can also see things from whatever perspective you're bringing into the theater.
Sure.
And so for that, I just like, I don't know why I felt that way, but as I was watching it, I just kept like thinking back to Bones and All. And I was like, this really like just, it
no.
gives me that same feeling.
I feel like you're really onto something there. And I agree, especially about like the social commentary
uh-huh.
and the themes. They're subliminal, but also not. I think we can all agree like on what they are
yeah.
as far as the themes go and the commentary. But it's sort of like how you interpret that and how you, what it means to you.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of up to you, which is really cool. And I think it's not like the Barbie movie where yeah. it's like the theme is feminism.
The theme is women.
Yeah. Like the theme is feminism. And we're going to continue to say that
mm-hmm.
over and over again.
Yeah. I really want to say something that's exactly like to the point of, you know, making social commentary and to that point.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be in the spoiler section, though. So
okay.
can we just like zoom right on into
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'm ready for that.
I think both of us can say large popcorn.
100%.
Like,
I said it's my favorite horror movie, so y'all already yeah. knew. Y'all already knew it was coming. It's my it's my favorite horror movie. So yes, large
yes.
popcorn for me.
Welcome back to the spoiler section of the episode. Please, 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 please. If you have not seen this movie and you want to at this point, like I don't even want to say like, if you don't care about spoilers, stick
no.
around. I could care less if you listen to the rest of the episode right now. What I do care about is you going to see Strange Darling and then coming back to us.
Yes.
So if you have seen Strange Darling and you are listening to us now, I am going to dive right back into the social commentary section,
uh-huh.
which is that the biggest spoiler of it all, you have 3 seconds to leave. 1, 2, 3, is that the woman is the serial killer.
Yeah.
Before you know she is the serial killer, I legitimately was thinking to myself, like, does this director hate women? Like, it felt like a man who hated women.
Okay.
It felt like a man who has been stood up at the bar more times than he can count.
Like an incel made it.
Yes, it felt like an incel made it. And so what was so interesting about this movie was that the second the script flips and you find out that it's her instead of him,
mm-hmm.
It literally is like the perspective of the director changed.
Yeah.
And that is one of the most fucking masterpiece level moments of like any movie I've ever seen. Because the way that it was revealed to us that she is in fact the serial killer is through a scene which is one of the most uncomfortable scenes I've ever watched in my life, which is basically two people that met in a bar and are about to have a one night stand in a hotel. And in this scene that you're leading up to the reveal of her being a serial killer, they are having very aggressive, very role play type sex that you don't know is role play. And you think that it's a scene of sexual violence.
Yes.
You're almost constantly like worrying, like, when is he going to pull the knife? When is he going to kill her? When is he going to attempt to...
Like waiting for the assault.
Yes.
And the murder.
Right. And so there was this part of me that like felt like, you know, she's having a one night stand with him. He's a married man and all this, you know, the way that it looked from the outside as we're watching this movie unfold, you know, it kind of felt like she was being punished for having a one night stand. And so that perspective of having it like flip and have her be the serial killer instead was really batshit crazy.
Yeah.
It was like, oh shit.
Yeah.
What was interesting was that it didn't turn into a Barbie moment where it didn't turn into, you know, more power to her. She's like, she's a lady killer. Like, she, good for her. Like, let's cheer her on. You're like, holy shit, this girl is fucked up.
Yeah.
And then you start rooting for the guy. And it's just, it's really interesting how he was able to do that without glorifying a serial killer, which you could have very easily done, where it's like, you know, the moment you reveal that it's a woman instead, you could have very easily been like, hashtag feminism, she kills people too.
Hashtag like flip the script on like the men. You know what I mean? Like you could have gone that direction with it.
Absolutely. And I think that the way that the perspective changed was really interesting. And I think one of the most interesting scenes to me was when she finally is caught. She basically stages her being caught by this guy as she was held captive and raped by this man. And when this male cop comes in with a lady cop, the female cop is immediately like, we have to take care of her.
This like, is a victim.
You know, there's empathy and there's feeling. And then the male cop is like, no, we have to process a scene, you know, whatever. And again, if you watch that scene with a kind of misogynistic male forward sense, you think to yourself, well, yeah, the lady cop is stupid. That's a fucking serial killer. But the way that the director rewards these characters is that the male cop ends up getting shot and the female cop gets to go free. So the director himself rewards the female cop for her empathy. And like for that, like I was like, what an interesting and like genuinely beautiful way to flip the script on so many years of horror, exploiting women, exploiting sexual violence, showing us shit that shouldn't be seen. Like there are some horror movies that like absolutely I like fucked up shit, but there are some horror movies that I don't touch because if it involves like fucked up sexual violence type stuff, get me the fuck away from that. You are a deplorable person who made that movie and I don't want to give you money or support that. This movie just completely slam dunked on all of them. You know what I mean?
Literally. Yeah. I think it was so crazy. The build up to finding out that she's the killer. You know, the scene that I really liked is when they're in the car together. And she asks him, you're not a serial killer, are you? This whole time you're led to believe he is the serial killer. And when he says, no, he's not, he kind of looks off to the side and then looks back, which is so genius. Cause like if you're a body language expert, like when people lie, they like look away and then look back. And so it was really interesting that, you know, you had this little moment where he's like, no, I'm not a serial killer. And she has this whole kind of monologue about women getting themselves into precarious situations all of the time and how he could be a serial killer and maybe she shouldn't be doing this. And it's just so crazy. And like, then you find out she's the serial killer and he's a cop. Like, not only is he just like a dude. Like, he's a literal police officer.
Yeah.
She doesn't kill him because he pulls a gun on her.
Yeah.
And it's just from there on, the movie just takes off.
Yeah.
And like you said, it's just unbelievable how as soon as you learn that she's a serial killer, you automatically are like, no, this lady's got to go.
Yeah.
Like, every feminist like bone in my body just evaporated into thin air as soon as I found that out. Because I was like, oh, no, she's got to go to jail.
Yeah.
Like, somebody needs to put her ass away.
Yeah.
And it was crazy to see how the rest of the characters played out into her whole web of killing.
Mm-hmm.
And to see the different... to quote fucking Blake Lively.
Oh, God.
Multitudes of women.
Mm-hmm.
You've got the old lady in the house who she lets go. The lady cop that she lets go because she treats, you know, her with kindness and empathy and automatically assumes she's a victim.
Yeah.
And then you've got the lady who shoots her, who picks her up. You know, because she thinks she's a victim.
Yeah.
And as soon as she sees her pull a gun, she pulls out a gun and shoots her.
Which, you know what's really interesting about that last scene, which I actually really wanted to talk about, is first of all, I do not think that it was unintentional that the final woman that kind of shoots her was Native American.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either.
And there's a lot that you can unpack from that, but sure. I really do think that having like an indigenous person be the one that kind of ends it all felt very intentional.
Mm-hmm.
And also the most interesting thing about that scene was when she leaves the crime scene of when she shoots the final cop, she has both cops' guns and she has the other guy's gun. So she has three guns. When she pulls the gun on the woman in the truck, she still has two guns in her jacket.
Mm-hmm.
And she chooses not to shoot the woman.
Mm-hmm.
In her final moment, she could have very easily shot this woman.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't. And like, there's a part of me that's like, you know, like I could sit here and write like an essay about it.
Sure.
But I don't want to like go too all highbrow and soapboxy, but I just kept thinking like she has two other guns. She has two other guns.
Mm-hmm. But did you notice that she was smiling?
Yeah.
At her? The lady shoots her. Then the rest of the movie is just us looking at this serial killer, this electric lady dying in this truck as the lady's like taking her to the hospital or wherever.
Yeah.
And she's meant to be looking at the driver of the car, but kind of is breaking the fourth wall a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
But she's like smirking at her.
Yeah.
And I think in this moment, what I got from that is like she almost like respected the lady for like killing her.
Yeah.
It was almost like real recognizes real.
Yes.
And it was like, all right, well,
and
you
that's
got me.
And that's kind of what. And that's kind of like what I was thinking, like leading into about her being an indigenous woman was like, this is a group of people who have been victims for centuries. You know what I mean?
Since this country started.
Yeah. And so I think there was kind of like this, what you said, like this respect of this lady that was just kind of like, you know what, like you've already been a victim enough kind of a thing.
And I think that's,
I don't know.
And
yeah.
I think that's sort of why all of the women were spared, to be honest with you, because I think it was more about like, you know, she even says, the electric lady says at one point, sometimes I don't see people, I see demons. And there's like a couple of times where you get like this little flash of like what basically it's, I think it's meant to be like what she sees before she kills someone. But I think in her mind, like she's like figured out in her head, like which dudes are the bad ones and she wants to kill them all.
It's like specific men.
Specific men.
And what was interesting too was that even though you do want her to be caught, the man who is chasing her has his own demons. And it's not that he is a rapist. It's not that he is, you know, committing sexual violence. It's that he's cheating on his wife. And it's that he's risking years of sobriety to have one good night with a girl he met at a bar.
Yeah.
And so like he does have, you know, some faults and some demons and, you know, whatever. But I think she obviously is over assuming about these people. Mm-hmm. And also, you know, she at one point in the movie says that she doesn't care about getting caught. She just doesn't want to die.
Yeah.
And I think that was really interesting that at the end, her accepting, I'm going to die here,
mm-hmm.
and not really fighting back anymore, watching her kind of just accept the fact that, like, there's no more chase. Like, I'm dying right now, and yeah. there's no point.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, her holding back and not shooting this woman, which, she has two other guns.
Yeah.
Like, she could have very easily done that. Like, mm-hmm. everything about this movie just was such an interesting layered experience that I feel like I'm still unpacking.
Same.
Because there are some scenes that I'm just like, you know what? Like, I want to watch that again just to unpack it. Like, just to like catch things. Now that I know that it's her, like, I want to watch it and experience it. But I also know that there will never be a feeling like realizing it's her ever again, even though, like, I'll watch this movie in the future.
Did you have any clue that it was going to be her? Because I did.
When did you figure it out?
I'm trying to remember this because I was going to ask you this. I wouldn't say like I figured it out, but I started questioning if it was her when she gave him something other than cocaine.
I questioned it a tiny bit sooner.
Okay.
But it was the same scene.
Okay.
It was the scene of them in the hotel room.
Okay.
It was right after we figured out that they were doing role play.
Okay. So you were thinking in that moment that it could be her?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Because I think that, I mean, there's just something so, I don't know how to explain it, but I mean, the character, the male character shows what I'm about to say very like viscerally, which is having role play that is violent in any nature requires such a huge level of trust and respect between two people. Once I realized he wasn't violating her and it was a choice that they made that he feels uncomfortable with, but she keeps pushing for anyway, I was like, that was where I was like, and then the cocaine thing was where it absolutely like confirmed it for me, was when she gave him a separate line when she took cocaine. So
I feel like, honestly, we could talk about this movie for hours, and I genuinely can't express enough how badly I want everyone to see this movie.
I know, I completely agree. And I think the fact that it's shot on film, the fact that it has kind of these nods back to like vintage horror, and, you know, it has a really cool soundtrack. I think it's honestly a perfect movie to usher in spooky season.
So perfect.
It is really, really, really good. And the fact that you said it was your favorite horror movie ever, like, shocked the hell
out
of me.
Are you really shocked? Yeah. I wouldn't say that was like my initial reaction. But the more I process this movie, it's just brilliant.
10 out of 10.
10 out of freaking 10.
10 out of freaking 10, dude.
Dude, brother.
Fuck you, brother. Well, thank you all for joining us on this episode. I'm sorry if we blew out your eardrums with like our excitement.
Sorry.
I had to adjust our levels a little bit.
Oops.
We got a little hyped on this one. But again, I really hope that you guys go check out Strange Darling. I hope that they put more show times in because they were super limited down by us. But go check that out. It's my turn to have surgery next. I am okay, and I also do not have cancer, but I do need surgery next week, and so there will be a little bit of a recovery time. And when we do have an episode planned, I will obviously let you guys know on our Instagram, probably like 2 weeks. It's not like a crazy situation.
We'll see.
All right, until next time, we hope you guys have a lovely start of spooky season, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for joining us on the ride home.